Hello, my name is Dakota from the Each Radio program. Today we have Mr. Riggis, Ms. Lamica, Sakai, Nicole, and our special guest, Daniel. Daniel, can you tell us about your job?
Yes, so I am an attorney. An attorney is also called a lawyer. They're the same exact thing. So what attorneys do is they deal with the law, and there's many different kinds of attorneys and many different kinds of law that you can do. So you have what we call, big words for you, transactional attorneys and litigator attorneys. So I am a little bit of both. So that's what an attorney is.
Can you tell us about your childhood?
Yeah, so just like all you three girls who are here, I grew up in Schenectady. I grew up uptown Schenectady, which is the Central Park neighborhood. Do you know where Central Park is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So there's one street called Becker Street, and off of Becker Street there's a bunch of little streets that come off of it. And the little street that I grew up on is called James Street. So I grew up on James Street here in the city of Schenectady, and it was myself. I have four sisters and three brothers, so it's a big family. And so I grew up here in the city of Schenectady, and similar to each one of you who are here.
Do any of your sisters and brothers work as an accountant too?
Do they work where?
As an accountant or something?
As an attorney?
Yeah.
No, I am the only one in my family that works as an attorney, but I do have some sisters that are nurses and some sisters that are teachers.
Now, when I was reading the article in the Gazette about Daniel and saw where he grew up, my mother grew up on Becker Street. So instantly I was like, oh my goodness, same neighborhood. Now, Daniel, where'd you go to elementary school?
So I went to Lincoln Elementary.
Which also got me thinking, why, girls?
He taught there.
Right, so Mrs. Lamica and I were teachers at Lincoln for...
Over 10 years.
Long time. So we were like, oh my goodness, Lincoln Elementary School, James Street, that's our old neighborhood. So I got to thinking, I wonder, did anyone that I know, was anyone Daniel's teacher?
Yeah.
So sure enough, I started asking some of my old teacher friends, and yes, one of my good friends was Daniel's teacher. Third or fourth grade.
But I can guess. Was it Ms. Vanderlinden?
It was not.
Mr. Keegan?
It was Mr. Keegan. Yep, I was just at Mr. Keegan's wedding this summer, and he had so many nice things to say about Daniel in class so many years ago. I know.
Yeah, so what grade are you girls in?
I'm in third.
Third? So both of you are in fourth?
Same class.
Same class? So you guys are best buddies in...
Not for friends.
Some days, best friends. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
Like a roller coaster, as,
right.
as most.
Up and down.
Yeah, fourth grade female relationships go. Yeah.
Okay.
But
well,
you shouldn't probably know that.
You wouldn't know that.
No, you wouldn't know that. You're a boy.
I wouldn't understand fully
at least what the boys say. I don't get you, girls.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't understand what happens in girlhood.
Mm-hmm. In girlhood, that's right.
I think I agree with you. Okay.
Takai's I'm only in third grade. I don't even understand this yet. You will. Very soon you'll be
very
in fourth
soon.
Grade.
I have a son who's in third grade.
Oh.
And he goes to school. We live in Niskayuna. So my son goes to school at Hillside, which isn't too far from here at all.
So. What does he say about third grade?
He's stressing right now that the New York State testings are coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wait,
what?
Yes.
I have that question.
But you know what's funny, though, because he's kind of followed after me. He's an athlete. He likes to play sports and stuff. But the thing with him is that he's very detailed and specific when it comes to certain things. And we'll find him in his room literally studying and doing work. And I'm like, all right, that's weird. You know, because I never did that at all. But he will. But then at the same time, he'll be in a gym, having fun, playing. But he knows what's important, you know, and he knows that he takes school serious.
Mm-hmm.
So then, are you guys stressing about the New York State
yes.
test right
yes.
now?
Yes.
I don't really care about it. Once it's done, it's over.
You're just happy to get it over?
Yeah, but I'm mad you have to do three of them.
Exactly.
Day.
3 days, yeah.
Why shouldn't it be all in one day? Get over
get it.
So how long is it for?
3 days.
No, it's one, like,
I think it's one all questions. One, right, all
no,
right.
No, it's one, I think it's multiple, yeah.
Multiple choice.
Second, multiple choice and some short answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, multiple choice, short answer, and then one huge essay.
Yeah, like when you
extended.
Have to...
Yeah,
it's like probably like comparing to the passages.
Right,
so
a lot of times.
All day?
No, it's like one, they do one, and then like 3 weeks.
Say you can probably finish it during your free time. Or
there's no time limit
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's true, there's no time limit. Yeah. So it could take a few hours.
I think it's one test and wait like 2 weeks or something like that, then another test.
No, you'll do them all 3 days in a row.
Okay.
Well,
that sounds hard, right?
Why?
What Dakota said, once you're done with it, you're done with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Except for the math.
I didn't even know
I'm
about
that.
You're getting better
at math. I'm getting better at math.
So guess what? Sometimes that happens through a lot of times in your life, at different ages of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of what the bar exam?
I just can't wait till 8th grade till no more tests. No
to
more.
Eighth grade?
It's harder tests.
Listen
yeah.
to what Daniel's saying.
Have you ever heard of the bar exam?
Bar exam?
No.
So the bar exam is an exam that attorneys have to take in order. You go to law school, and you go to school to learn law. And when you're done with law school, you don't know how to be a lawyer, but you got your degree to be a lawyer, right? But you have to take this test, what we call a bar exam. And the test is a 2-day exam. At least in New York, this is what it is. It's a 2-day exam, 6 hours one day, and 6.5 hours the next day. And get this, though, you can't use any notes. You get one break per day. So it's 3 hours in the morning,
so
and then you get an hour lunch.
So do you get to pick when you want to break?
No. As a matter of fact, so you sit in a room, in the room that you sit in, picture this room, but times 20, that much bigger, right?
Yeah.
And you
like
sit
nothing
in this,
on the walls.
Nothing on the walls. You can't have anything on your desk but a clear plastic baggie, and you can only have about a couple of pencils. And not only that, but you're taking this exam, and then you have these proctors. They're proctors. They're like teachers that are walking up and down the aisles making sure that you're not looking at someone else's exam. And then when they say you got 5 minutes left, you got only 5 minutes left. And when they say that you got 1 minute left, you only have 1 minute left. And then once they say stop, you have to put your pencil down. And if
like
you don't,
drop it?
You have to drop it. And if you don't drop it and you keep on answering questions, you could be disqualified and then not be a lawyer or have your test count for that time.
What happens if you don't finish both of the tests in the 2 days?
Then you better make sure that the answers that you answered are right. Because you don't get credit for the answers that you didn't answer, right? But the bad part about the bar exam is this, is that the summer, so it's offered only 2 times a year. It's offered in February, and it's offered in July. So when you take the bar exam in July, like I did, you have to study the entire summer. So you don't see your friends, you don't see your family, and you just sit in a library, and then you get all hairy, you get grow hair on your face.
You don't even shower, you're all smelly. Yeah.
All I did was I went to the gym in the morning, and then I would go straight to the library, and I lived in the library. I didn't see anybody at all.
I can't stay in a library that long. Too
just when
hours.
I thought when you were growing up, you had no more tests. Perfect.
Well, but get this, though. Once you're done with that test and you pass that test, hopefully that's the last exam that you would ever have to take.
What's
right? it? Right, as of now it is. I don't foresee myself taking any other exams.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You want to...
What was the first job you wanted?
The first job that I wanted...
Yeah.
I would say that I can remember when I was a little bit older than the fourth graders, I knew that I wanted to be an attorney, but I didn't know what exactly an attorney was. I didn't know what a lawyer did, but I kind of told myself, I was like, that seems cool. You know, I think the thought came from, and I think you may have read that in the article that you read, part of when I grew up, I used to have to deal with attorneys because of certain things that was happening with my family. So at certain points, there was attorneys that would have to come and help us out as family members.
So you kind of learned for them?
learn from them.
Exactly. Just from dealing with them, I think that it piqued my interest. I'm like, wow, that seems interesting. Maybe I could do something like that.
Quick side note, first job I ever wanted, I saw this job. And I, this person only worked one day a week. Because they only came to my house one day a week. And I thought, it's the most amazing job ever. You only have to work one day a week.
Tutor?
No, it was the garbage man. I thought, this is the dream job. He only comes on Fridays. He gets the rest of the week off. Little did I know he went to other people's houses on other days. And so my dream was shattered at an early age. What job do you want, Dakota?
I don't
want
a job. I want to be a stay-at-home
parent. A stay-at-home parent. That's a full-time job in and of itself. Nicole, what are you looking for?
I'm more in dreams,
stuff
like that.
She's more singing, right?
Yeah. Singing, yeah.
Right. They created a group called
That's
Mini
my daughter,
Company.
Claire. When she was in preschool. You know what dream job was?
What? Ooh, wait. Driving a...
Driving a monster truck. She wanted to be a monster truck driver. But that has changed to singing. So now you two can start your own band together. Takai, what's your goal?
Singer and dancer.
Singer and dancer, I can see that.
Nicole and her, some of these girls made a group called Mini Harmony.
Ooh, that's
We're changing the group name to Latinas.
Latinas, that's the name of your group.
They were going to do it to fit Mini Fit Harmony or something, but they didn't have five people in the group.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We just, like, get the songs we like and then make dances to it.
It's tough when your dreams are shattered. All right. Okay.
And you said it's Miss Lamica? Mm-hmm. What about you? What was your...
Yeah, Miss Lamica.
I really always wanted to be a teacher since first grade. Like, I loved my first grade teacher so much. Does it remind you of what Mrs. White said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I adored her, and I was like, I want to be a teacher when I grow up, and I did.
So you're younger than Mrs. White?
No, actually I'm not. It just reminded me because she said the same thing when we interviewed her. It was her first grade teacher.
She was like, I always wanted to be a teacher.
So what was the first job that you had in your life?
The first job that I had, pretty soon you'll be knowing, you'll be hearing of this program called, it's still around, Schenectady Job Training Agency. We call it CETA. I don't know if you guys heard of CETA. Ever heard of it? Mm-hmm. So it's a summer job training agency, and what happens is when you're in high school and you can finally get your working papers, the county, it's like a county program where they would pay you to do work, and it's a program you would sign up for. And it was a 6 to 8 week program. And I used to work as a janitor at Howe Magnet School all summer. And that was my first job that I ever received a paycheck.
I would hate to be a janitor because what if someone throws up anywhere?
Well, at least in the summer, there's no kids. You probably just have to be, like, moving things and cleaning, getting ready for the school year.
You know, all summer I cleaned the bottom of these desks. I was taking gum off of the bottom of the desk. That's probably why there's no gum in classrooms. Mm-hmm.
Good reason why.
Nicole's checking, just doing a quick double check. Make sure Chloe didn't stick any under there. Good thinking. How's it look under there? Clean?
Doing good, Nicole.
Clean as a whistle. Right.
It's mostly in high school or college when there's gum under the table because they have those weird circle tables.
Stick it right underneath there. I mean, like,
that was
in
second
right
grade. There was gum under my table.
It's
what?
Like this table, but it's in a better circle.
Now, and then it has to be gum under the lunch tables.
Wow. Yeah, lunch tables is where I used to always see it in school. Because kids took it out to eat.
Yeah.
And they stuck it under there. Then they didn't want to put it back in their mouth after it's been stuck under there.
I always stick my gum on my tray.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you always stuck yours back in your mouth from under the table.
Oh,
no.
You know what's
been
out there?
Exactly. You just put it back in my mouth.
Talk about nasty.
Did you get good grades in high school?
So in high school, I got good grades at points, at certain times. So at first, my first year of high school, I didn't. You know how I'm not sure if the elementary school does this with quarters. You guys have like a first quarter, second quarter. So first quarter when I was in high school, I didn't do well at all. In fact, it was to the point where the coach, my basketball coach, he told me that I was going to get kicked off the team if I didn't turn it around. I didn't really realize that I was going to have to do schoolwork. I'm like, well, I'm good at basketball. I don't need to do sports, right? Or I don't need to do grades if I'm good at basketball. Then once the varsity coach had a conversation with me and told me that if I didn't, there's other kids that would be able to play on the team that could get good grades and play basketball. If I didn't do that, then I was going to not be on the basketball team. That's when I kind of got my act together. And when I did the bare minimum, I didn't do like over and beyond until I figured out that Once I know I can go to college for basketball, that I needed to get good grades, that's when I kind of started saying to myself, all right, let me start really turning it on and start doing good. So it wasn't really up until my junior year, until 11th grade, until I started actually really buckling down and starting to get grades good enough to get me into college.
For basketball, do you have like to try out or something? Or
yeah, so when you're in high school or when you're in middle school, you have to try out for the basketball team. The way that Schenectady was, the Schenectady's basketball program was really good. So with Schenectady's basketball program, we already had a good 8 to 10 people that was on the team. So tryouts was really for, unfortunately, about 3 or 4 kids to see if the 3 or 4 kids were going to make the team. Now, for you girls, you're going to have to go to, you're probably going to go to Schenectady High School.
We're doing this thing called March Madness, and only 4 people from each class can be on the basketball team.
Okay.
It's like a shootout. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Each team is only 4 people.
Well, see, it's competitive then, right?
It's competitive. Just like Daniel's saying, it's tough to get on one of those 4 people, right?
Mm-hmm. So
I was one of them last year.
Yeah, me too. So back to the thing.
So
I've never missed tourist class and actual shirts.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, well, the point is kind of exactly what you're saying about the whole March Madness. So imagine this is a smaller kind of segment of what the high school is going to be like, right? So the high school is going to be all these elementary schools all put together, and everyone's going to go to that high school. So now it's going to be that competitive for you to try out when you try out for the high school teams if you're not already doing things right now. That's why I always preach the got to practice, you got to keep on going hard at things and practice. And so when you do get to the high school level, you can hopefully be in a position where your tryouts is just a tryout, but you know you're going to be on the team, if that makes any sense.
In high school, what grades can go on the sports teams?
You could be on a, if you're really, really good and you're in middle school, sometimes there's times they take middle school kids and put them on a high school team. So for me, when I was in middle school, when I was in 8th grade, that's when I first met the high school coach. Because I was fortunate that I was one of the better kids on the team, at least scoring more points and everything, and the varsity coach would come down, the high school coach would come down and talk to me, and then when I went to high school, that's when I played on the varsity team. So you could be in 9th grade. There's a level for each grade, though. There's a team if you're playing on, if you're 9th and 10th grade, there's a level. If you're 11th grader, there's a level, and if you're in 12th grade, there's a level.
Isn't it something like, because like on a field trip or something, you don't earn it, we went to see Sienna basketball, a woman. Mm-hmm. Isn't it like something of a D division or something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe we're upper or stuff like that? I don't know. Because I asked the question, like, if they beat Harvard, do they go up a level to another team, or do they just stay at Harvard?
So you got a good memory, because you remember his daughter in first grade wanted to do monster drugs.
Yeah, have a good memory.
It's really good. So what you're remembering is in, at least in New York State, the way that we do it, and actually the country, really, it's Division III, Division II, and Division I. Division I basketball, what matters is the kind of scholarship that you get to go to school. You know what a scholarship is?
It's not a thing.
It's a basketball scholarship. There's all kinds of scholarships.
What is it? Yeah, there's all kinds of. What does it mean if you get a scholarship?
I know it's a big thing.
It is a big deal.
Welcoming you, like they're welcoming you. Say you got a basketball scholarship. They're welcoming you to come to their basketball.
They are, and they're going to do something really special for you.
I think it's give you some money.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what it is. But you can get scholarships for anything. You can get scholarships for academics, meaning your schoolwork. If you do really well in school, that's why that's a good incentive to do well in school. Because of course, a school says, okay, Nicole is so good at doing in her academics. If she graduates from our school, it's going to look good for us. So let's offer her a bunch of money for her to go to school here. And then that way, it's going to reflect on us, and it's going to help Nicole out. So the same exact thing in basketball. In basketball, you can get scholarships. So for Division I, the differences between them is that you get a certain amount of scholarships at a Division I level. You get a certain amount of scholarships at a Division II level. In Division III, unfortunately, you don't get scholarships, but they do what we call grants. Grants are very similar to scholarships, but it's more so coming from the government or coming from a certain place. The money is coming from a different place as opposed to coming from the school itself.
So free money.
So did you get a basketball or any kind of scholarship?
Fortunately, I did. I got a basketball scholarship for undergrad. but or for undergrad. So meaning there's different levels of college too, right? So when you go to college, you could there's many different levels of college that you could do. But when you go to law school, law school is kind of, it's called higher education. It's a little bit different than what your 4 years or your 2 year program that you do. But for my undergraduate program, when I went to St. Rose, I was fortunate enough to have school paid for me, but then it all made no sense when I went to law school. That went down the drain, and I had to take out loans for law school.
Was it like, did you have to pick like from like this college asked you this one, you got to pick between some?
I did. You know, interesting story about that? It's really interesting. So I saw one of your questions were, how come I decided to go to one different college and then go to a different college? Whose question was that? Was there a Lucas? Or I think so. There was a question. One of the children, one of the students asked that question, which I found it was very interesting. I end up going to SUNY Cobleskill. I was going to go to Lemoyne College, which is a Division II school in Syracuse. But the interesting part about it is I didn't go there because the coach there wanted to offer me what we call a 3/4 scholarship. So the first year I was not going to be on scholarship, but then the remaining 3 years after that I was going to be on scholarship, and I didn't want to take out any loans, so I said no, and I went to Cobleskill. When I went to Cobleskill, I end up, I played basketball there for 1 year, then I end up transferring to Schenectady County Community College. When I was at Schenectady County Community College, I played basketball there, but I received my degree from Cobleskill. It's a little weird. I had enough credits at Cobleskill, and I kind of wanted my degree to rather say Cobleskill than Schenectady Community College for whatever reason, I don't know. But I end up transferring credits back over there. But when I was at Schenectady Community College, that's when I had all the schools from what we call the Northeast 10 Conference. That's where you have like St. Rose and Lemoyne. And then I originally signed to a school called Franklin Pierce University, which is in New Hampshire. But the interesting part was this, is that I didn't make the best decision at the time, but it came around to be the best decision right now that my wife and I, we end up having a son when I was in college. And I couldn't leave my son. I didn't feel comfortable leaving my son and going to New Hampshire. So I end up deciding to go to St. Rose, which ultimately was a really good idea because it's in Albany. And I get along with my St. Rose family very well. And I see them often. So it's pretty interesting. Because I have my son, I end up deciding to stay at St. Rose.
Funny how one thing affects so many other things. Mm-hmm. Like you joining the radio club. Now you've become a star.
Thank you.
Are you still friends with people from high school?
I am. Mm-hmm. A lot of my, it's actually a little backwards. Sometimes your friends from high school, you don't talk to them for a while when you're in college, and then you become close with these friends in college. But then when you're done with college, you start to become friends with the friends in high school again. At least that's what I started to notice a little. And my friends from high school, a lot of my teammates, they were in my wedding, and they were, you know.
Did
so
they be on your basketball team?
They're on my basketball team. I still play basketball with them. They go to church with me.
So when you played basketball, did you have anyone that you looked up to?
Yeah, I guess locally, like people that were close proximity to us that lived around here. The Schenectady High School basketball team, they just won the state championship. Meaning they were the number one team in the state. So they were the best high school team in New York State. So a lot of those guys, I'm like, wow, I'm looking at these guys like, wow, I would love to do that. You know, so and fortunately for me, they were good role models because they went on to go to college and they went on to play basketball. A lot of them went on to play professional and overseas, which are in different countries, or they went on to play in the NBA.
Oh, cool. NBA is a big thing, right?
NBA is
huge. Oh, the biggest.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, a big part they didn't put in the news, that article that you read, is that one of my business partners, he's an NBA agent, and he lives in Myrtle Beach. And so what he does is he represents a lot, he negotiates a lot of contracts or what the NBA players are going to be paid. He negotiates that with the team.
So say I'm the New York Knicks, right? And Takai, I said I want Takai on my team. And I want to pay her $2 million. And she says, psh, yeah, right, I'm so good. You owe me four.
$4.
She needs someone to talk to the New York Knicks for her and try to figure out, get the most amount of money she can get. So she hires an agent. And the agent's special job, because she knows basketball. She doesn't know how to talk all this money. the agent will talk for her and say, no, she's definitely worth the $4 million and try to get her some more money.
Or a good idea, like how you said, did you have one team say, I want you, or you choose here, or the other team can say, well, I'm going to just go to the Chicago Bulls, or I'm going to go to Los Angeles Lakers.
You're only
going
to pay me two? I'm going to Miami, play for the Heat and Pat Riley. He's a Schenectady grad anyway. Long story, we'll get into that later.
So did you ever play an instrument?
You know, I started laughing. Did you ask that question? Is that your question? Or well, it's funny because I did. I played the clarinet, but I never really learned. I played it. Maybe you could teach me.
yes.
But I would. What is it called? A pick, right? It's the pick that goes
the reed?
Into it.
Reed.
Oh, the reed. The reed. Yeah. A pick is something. So something.
Guitar.
Oh, guitar. Okay, yeah. So the reed. The reed. Well, it kept breaking on me, and I couldn't figure it out. So then I would get. I got frustrated and never stuck with it. So you're good in it?
Yes. Little? I played the violin and viola.
I play violin.
Nice.
I'm performing at practice here.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say that?
Well, when's the show?
I think it's something 19.
You make sure you find out for us.
Yeah. Oh, for the bandstand?
No, the
Empire State Youth Orchestra? Like your group with Mr. Connolly, Chime?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was just, we're doing Star Wars, Dragonfire, and...
No, really? It's not Dragonfire. It's Dragon Hunter.
It's Dragonfire. You're in band?
No.
Exactly.
Are you nervous to do it, or...
A little bit. I'm still learning my fingerings, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I know my, high fingerings, just... I can't get my low G.
See, that's like a different language to me when you're saying that. It is. My office is right up the road from Proctor, so I go to Proctor, stop by Proctor's office.
Oh, yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, me and Nicole are on this play called The Bandstand.
At the Bandstand.
We're so past the answer in April.
Is that the play that you're going to put on?
Yeah.
That you were practicing here just like yesterday or the day before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we totally need to get some of those kids here for Radio Club.
Yep.
You have a whole group full of performers, and you've never told me this.
I'm sorry.
More than that?
Yes.
Putting the whole thing together?
Yeah.
There's like special parts.
There's like 20 people.
Well, I'm gonna steal some of those kids for radio.
20 people take away some kids.
How many years were you in college?
You really want to know that?
Yeah.
3?
9.
Well, 8 is right. It was different for me, though. The reason why, usually with law school, it's 7 years, but it was 8 for me because you remember that whole transferring around that I said that I did? That cost me one more extra year of college, which wasn't bad. I think I needed that extra year to mature a little bit more. So I did 4 years of undergrad, it ended up coming out to be 5 years of undergrad. Oh, that was one of the reasons too, is because I was playing basketball at St. Rose, so I was able to. I wanted to stay an extra year and play basketball, so it was 5 years of undergrad and it's 3 years of law school.
Isn't that 9?
5 and 3, 8. Yep. So 5 years of undergrad and then 3 years of law school.
Did you have any jobs when you were in your 8th year?
In my 8th year, I got my county job, the job that I work part-time at, is the job where...
Do you have any night jobs?
Unfortunately, attorneys work all day. I work all day.
You work all day?
I do at times.
Until what?
There's times where I'll come home and it's 6:30. There's times I'll come home and it's 8:30 if I'm in comedy night court. There's times I come home at 9.
Why do they keep you so long?
Well,
are people always in trouble?
Unfortunately, there's things that happen, right? And because it's my own business, I do what I want with my own business. And if I said, no, I'm not going to go out at a certain time at night, then it will reflect on my business, right? So if I want my business to be as successful and as big as I believe it could be, then I need to work hard. Remember, I'm always preaching work hard. I need to work hard with it.
And sometimes these courts, when the judge and things get figured out, happen at nighttime.
True.
That's just the way it is.
I was wondering, how did you get in the paper? Like, what day was it?
What day was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember the day that it was.
That's an interesting question, though. Like, how did Daniel get hooked up with the reporter to even do the story? That's an interesting question.
Did someone set you up for an appointment or something?
So when you're in court, you know how sometimes when you you're watching the news and you see something happen on the news.
Remember, she doesn't pay attention.
Oh, you don't watch the news. Do you ever see anything on TV? You see anything on TV?
Yeah,
that
I watch
says,
kid shows.
Sometimes
so you see sometimes on the news.
Well, sometimes on the news they'll say there was an accident or there was a fire that happened over there.
Listen.
And when I'm in court, there's a lot of times the people that I represent, they alleged or they supposedly have done real bad things at times, right? Or made bad decisions at times. And sometimes it's what we call newsworthy. And if it's newsworthy, the newspaper will put it in the newspaper. So I see the news people a lot. And because I've always been in the news for basketball, they said, well, how cool can I interview Mr. Smalls and, you know, put this article in there. So
your name is Daniel Smalls?
It is. It's a funny name. They call me Biggie Smalls. And I
Biggie Smalls.
Did you ever have to defend someone that you didn't agree with?
Oh, that's a tough question, Takai.
That's Takai's.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, sometimes in my own business, I can pick and choose who I want to defend. But there are times where if I'm defending, I don't ask that million-dollar question of whether or not the person did it. I'll tell them, okay, this is what the district attorney's office thinks. This is what the facts are, and I don't ask because the law says that I have to turn over certain information to the other side, which is the district attorney. Do you know what the district attorney's office is? So a district attorney, you see how that's a bigger word, right? And you know how you were talking about I can't get the G down back with that? See, the same thing, I don't understand. So the district attorney's office is the state of New York has attorneys that represent them and make sure that people aren't out committing crimes. So they have attorneys called the district attorney's office to ensure and to make sure. It's kind of like your teachers. If you do something wrong in class, then unfortunately your teachers are going to say, okay, well, you're going to have to go to the principal. And the principal is going to say, okay, well, you can't do this because the rule was this, right? So the district attorney's office says, well, you can't go out and just kill someone, right? Because you can't. And if you do, there's going to be a consequence for your action. So the district attorney's office does that. So to answer your question, if I ever ask a person, where's the gun at? Or where's the knife at? Or something like that, I now have to tell the district attorney's office certain things because I took an oath once I became an attorney and passed the bar exam that I uphold the Constitution, and part of that is abiding by the ethical rules.
Did you ever have to raise your voice to someone, like get serious?
So my demeanor, the way that I am, the way my personality is, I'll just sit there and I'm more calm and I'll say, okay, you know what, obviously you and I, we're not talking right now, so we'll come back to it. And guess what, this is the best part about it, though, with with my clients who are in the jail, if I get up and leave, I can leave. They can't leave, they gotta stay at the jail. So I can get up and they just stay right there and they got to walk away with their oranges on and go back to their cell.
What was the first thing you did as a lawyer?
First thing I did as a lawyer, I remember I went out to lunch with my family and the next day I sat through a police, New York State police, interview one of my clients about a crime that they thought he committed. So the police officers wanted information from my client, and I just had to make sure that my client, his rights were being kept and upheld.
Do you always, like, when you're defending somebody, or do sometimes the person goes home and then, like they're in jail or something?
Yeah, a lot of times. So this morning I had a case on that my client, he's in jail, and he's going to be in jail for the next couple of years. But then, so there's a different kind of law. You remember, there's another, so for instance, a lot of times in my private office, I represent people who own houses. So we call them landlords. If you own a house, they're a homeowner, right? And sometimes if a person doesn't pay their rent, and if they're renting the house out to someone, if they don't pay that rent, then the law says that we got to go to court and we got to ask the judge to get what we call an eviction. An eviction is just a fancy word to say the judge says, okay, you can no longer stay in this house. You got to go because you didn't pay the landlord. So sometimes I have to represent that, or I do, I represent the landlord and, you know, making sure that the person can get out so someone else can come in and pay the rent. So there's different kind of laws, right? Or in family court, sometimes if you're in family court, if mom and dad, they separate with one another, and a kid wants to live with mom and a kid wants to live with dad, the judge has to make that decision.
Wait a minute. So the kid can't pick?
The kid could voice their opinion, but ultimately the judge, family court, has this big theory called the best interest of the child. So the court is going to say, we're going to see what the best interest of the child is.
Yeah, I thought the kid always picked.
Well, the kid could. When the kid gets an attorney. The kid gets an attorney. The kid, it's called a law guardian.
So if there's a family of people and there's a kid, the kid gets to pick an attorney?
The court will pay an attorney to represent the kid. And actually, I will be a law guardian at a certain point in time come April. Someone asked about the county job in one of the questions. I actually, so you know what a letter of resignation is?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. That's like when you want to go to this school and they can either give you a reservation that you're in or they reject you.
I think you're thinking of an acceptance letter?
Oh, yeah.
Say you were getting super bored with Radio Club. And you're like, Mr. Regis, I don't want to do this anymore.
You might
write me and Mrs. Lamica a letter of resignation. It says that you want to do what?
Get out of jail?
Get out.
Exactly. You want to leave.
Can someone else write the letter for you?
Probably, but when you sign your name on it, then it's your words.
So if you had me write it for you. So for instance, say you hired me and you said, could you write me a letter to get out of Radio Club? And I said, okay. Once I write that letter and then you sign off on it, it's just as good as you writing the letter.
So as soon as you sign that signature is gold. That means those are your words now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it sometimes scary defending a criminal? I can't pronounce that word.
Criminal?
Criminal?
Yeah.
Criminal.
You know, there's times where it is a little bit. Usually we call it a criminal defendant. A defendant. Have you heard the word defendant?
Yes.
They have to.
A criminal tried to attack someone.
It's a person that's getting sued.
It could be
a person.
And you're basically, you have to defend yourself. There are allegations, there's these made up statements that someone is saying that you did this against me. So you got to defend it, right? So if someone said that you and another girl were getting into a fight in school, in class, you would have to defend yourself to the principal and say, well, it wasn't me. You know, it was such and such who did it, right? So it's almost, that's kind of you defending yourself. So there are times that with some of my clients, I don't like to meet them at certain point of times at night, speaking of night and night court, just because it's a little bit tricky. You know, some of them, you don't have 100% full. They should trust in you. It doesn't necessarily mean that you trust in them. So I never let them know where I live. They would never know where I live. They don't know where my kids live. Just because you want to protect your family, right? It's a job. We know that there's some serious allegations against them.
So hopefully they don't listen to this program. Because then they'll have some of the information.
Yeah.
Keep this a secret from all.
Good thing no personal questions about where I live.
Right, yeah. No addresses.
Wait, never mind.
His name's not really even Daniel.
Exactly. We all know that.
He just made it. People make movies about these kind of
This is just like a preview of what a movie, if he wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of comedies.
What is the hard thing about being a lawyer?
The hardest thing about being a lawyer, there's two things. First thing is being away from my family a lot. So I don't get to be home as often as I want. But at the same time, a client wouldn't come to me if they paid me to do certain things, or they paid my office to do certain things, and I told them, well, I can't do that today because I need to go home with my family. They'll say, okay, well, I'm going to go to another attorney who will do it. And one of the biggest things is that I have to wear this funny outfit all the time. I would much rather be in sweatpants.
So would Dakota.
I wear sweatpants like every day.
That's all she wears.
You know, funny story, my kids, they don't, literally, they never wear jeans to school.
I hate jeans. I can't wear jeans.
You don't like jeans?
My oldest daughter is like that. She refuses. They're too, like, crunchy and uncomfortable.
I like them when they're looser.
You gotta be comfy to learn.
My wife and I, that used to be a discussion in our house. She used to say, well, they need to wear jeans, and my boys, they all like to play sports, and they all wear, like,
shorts.
Nike sneakers or shorts and sweatpants and stuff. And I always, every time they leave out, I'm jealous because I gotta put on this.
Doesn't it feel weird to have that thing around your neck?
Well, I'm so used to it now. You know how you got your nails on, right? Does it feel weird to have your nails on?
No.
Did it at first?
It felt weird at first. I couldn't do anything.
So that's how it was with me. It felt weird at first, but then it's like now people, if they see me and if they ever see me in sweatpants, they'll be like, they'll think I'm weird because I have sweatpants on.
It's the opposite. Yeah. You have weird socks on.
I do. See, that's the weird part about it. You see?
Sometimes when you like you wear the same outfit all the time, you try to jazz it up a little bit at least with things like socks, accessorizing a little bit. You know?
If you think these are weird, you should see what some of the female attorneys wear. Then you would say, wow.
What do you do when you finally get home?
Right to sleep.
Once I get home from school, if I have like any leggings, then I go back into sweatpants and I go on my bed and watch TV. So, what's your favorite part about being a lawyer?
Favorite part about being a lawyer is it doesn't feel like a job. It doesn't feel like a job, you know. I get to do what I want to do. I get to make my own schedule, my own calendar, and that's that.
Do you like working for the city or working in your law office building?
So you remember the letter of resignation I was talking about?
Yeah.
And when we said that that's the letter that we write to let them know that you're going to be leaving. So I handed in a letter of resignation with the city last week, so I won't be working at the city at the end of April. And it's not anything bad against the city, but you hope that when you have your own business that it can get to a point where you don't need to have another business. And I'm at that point with my business where, fortunately for me, it was good. I got a lot of experience from the city job.
Do you want your own business?
I have my own business.
Is it?
Yeah.
What business?
I have a law business.
What's it called? Daniel Small's Office of Defending Our Own?
Very similar, just like that. It's the Law Office of Daniel Small. And I get to hire staff, and I get to have people who work with me.
So hopefully you're never in trouble, but if you do, you know who to call.
I got a word for following all the rules. I ain't gonna get in no trouble.
These girls are like, what happened last week when Mr. Rickus wasn't here? Anyway.
Yeah.
Can we ask you some personal questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is your favorite food?
Ooh, favorite food. Is this like a big time food or like a favorite one that I can eat often?
I don't know.
Well, right now I'm on this nutrition plan because the summer's coming back around, so I gotta.
Then whatever your favorite is.
The favorite one is I love hot dogs with American cheese on them. It's weird, I know.
Cheese dogs? You never had cheese dogs?
I like the ones with the orange cheese inside the hot dogs.
The fake cheese. Yeah.
I don't like hot dogs.
The fakest cheese is the one that they gave us last time for hamburgers.
Oh yeah, it wasn't real.
You can barely eat it.
It comes out of a can.
How many siblings do you have?
Oh, didn't we?
No, we asked them. I said ask them their names.
What are their names?
Okay, so I'll start from the top. I have one, Shalise. She works at Northeast.
Shalise.
Yep. She's a teacher over at Northeast Parent Child Society. My sister, Kaylani, she's a nurse. And then I have my brother, Herbie. He works at Ellis Hospital.
I've been there before, like a whole bunch of times.
He's a transporter. He takes the patients from like one place to the next place in the hospital. Then I have my brother, LaShawn, which he is a business owner. He owns a store in Albany. It's a clothes store.
Do you have any younger siblings?
Younger. Those are all older. Then it's me. Then it's Rochelle. She's a teacher. She's younger than I am. Then I have Bonito. Unfortunately for Bonito, now this is really personal. Bonito is in prison right now. You know what prison is?
Have you ever been defending him before?
And that's the part I had to defend my own brother. I defended my own brother. See, so it goes to show this, is if you don't make right decisions, he's not a bad person at all, but he made a bad decision. And he's being held accountable for the bad decisions that he made, right? So unfortunately, he's going to have to spend a time out in prison until he can learn better ways to
deal with things. It's like a time out when they put you in a chair and you have to sit in the corner.
It is. It's
very
a time
longer,
out for adults, right?
But very, very longer.
But not that fun, and you know.
So yeah. Do you hear what Daniel's saying? It's like, you can be a good person and have good intentions, but that one mistake, that one poor choice can cost you.
Mm-hmm. So you know the easiest way to explain this, and I keep on telling my son this right now. I coach his basketball team, and my son, every time I'm saying something to another kid, and I'm telling the kid to stop doing this, stop doing that, he'll go over and he's laughing at what I'm telling the kid not to do. And the reason why that's so important, he might as well be doing what the other kid is doing, right? If he's just going to go over and he's going to laugh at what the kid is doing as I'm telling the kid not to do it. So if I'm telling you to stop talking, and then you're going, Dakota, you're going to be laughing once the teacher is in, you might as well be talking with her, right? Because you're encouraging it.
I think I'm here.
Right? So, but then, I tell my son not to do that, but this is the thing. The reason why it's important is because of this. So say now you're an adult, and you're outside, and you're in the streets, and you're getting in a fight, right? You're fighting someone, right? And I'm going to be extreme with it, and this is a very bad fight, so much to the point where there's weapons. And then you're sitting there screaming, kick her, do this, do that, right? Guess what's happening? Say that person gets hurt very bad, or the person even dies. Guess what's going to happen? Both of you guys are going to be charged with a crime, right? Because you just encouraged her to commit a crime, right? And you're sitting here screaming at her, telling her, yeah, do this, do that. She's the one who's doing the crime. You guys acted together with it, right?
So,
because you're encouraging her. You're telling her, yeah, do this. Look at her eyes are open. Do that way. Get her that way. Hit her that way. That's not important. Wow. You can't do that. So that's a little bit of, you know, how the law works. You could be in trouble for doing it. Or an easier way, if she wants to rob a bank and you're sitting in front of, you got the car. You never went inside the car. Or you never went inside the bank. And you're just a getaway driver. She runs out with $1 million.
You're still there because you saw the crime happening.
Then you helped it, yeah.
It's like when you're bullying a bystander.
A bystander in a bully situation. You're right.
Exactly.
Just standing by watching or encouraging or laughing, you're just as guilty. You're right.
What's your favorite color?
Blue. Mm-hmm.
That's my second favorite color. My favorite.
Look it. The paper's blue.
Green. What's our school color here?
Blue.
Oh, is it blue?
Yeah.
My favorite color is yellow.
Like
pink and purple.
Is it? Yeah.
On the back of the paper.
Is yours pink?
No.
I have no pink.
Yeah.
Oops.
Anyone's good to try. You just pick anyone.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Interestingly, math. I love math.
I love science. Oh, did the best science subject ever.
He said math.
And you don't like math.
No.
I love math.
I
love
math.
I love special. I need a light bulb light.
I like the special.
With a battery, a wire, and a little tiny.
You like when you can get away from me. Thanks. I really appreciate that.
My favorite is art.
Yeah.
I made it up,
yeah. I do.
My favorite is art. Did you make a light up?
I believe if I remember.
A circuit. You created a full circuit.
Do you have a pet?
I do not. We had a dog, and she died not so long ago.
What was her name?
Lola. She was a Rottweiler. She was a big dog.
I have a bunny. I used to have two bunnies, but my mom gave the other one away. I have a dog and I have a cat. I used to have a hamster, but someone squeezed him to death.
Oh.
What is your favorite? What is your favorite thing about your life right now?
About my life? Yeah, I get that. I'm not in school anymore. I don't know what the photo was saying.
No more of those tests.
No more in school.
Actually, I have 10 pets.
You have 10 pets?
I had 10.
Oh, you have?
Oh, nice. I had 7 fish, and they all died. I have 2 dogs and a cat.
Well,
they're still around?
Yeah.
Good.
Wait.
One dog, they're both pit bulls, and the one's a boy, one's a girl. The girl's name is China, and the boy's name is Nori, and my cat's name is Mama's.
Oh,
how long, like, do you know how old the cat was before you died?
The dog. We had a dog.
Oh, a dog.
It was actually bad. She was young. She had a heart attack when she was sleeping. She was 3 years old. She was 3 years, 6 months. And when you have a dog and you have a pet, it's just like a human being that you have.
But how did she get a heart attack?
And she was perfectly healthy, but from what we saw, but she had a heart. Her heart was enlarged, and that's common with bigger dogs. Rottweilers, you know what Rottweilers are?
They're like bulldogs, kind of.
Kind of, right? But they're even bigger
than
bulldogs.
Bulldogs. They have a stuffy.
They have black and brown fur.
They do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would he just start coughing and stuff?
No, well, she was sleeping. I came home from law school. I was in law school. This happened about 3 years ago. I came home. I took her out to go to the bathroom at about 11:30 at night. So law school, I had a commute. I commuted from Albany to Springfield, Massachusetts, which was an hour and 15 minutes. Then I would come back after class. So I got home late. I took her out to use the bathroom. She was perfectly fine. Next thing you know, we woke up in the morning and her too much details, but her body was kind of stiff. And we call that rigor mortis. And once rigor mortis is already set in, that means that the person or the body has been dead for a while. And that's what the veterinarian said, that she probably died for at least a good 8 hours. So that's happened right about after the time that I took her in from
her very dying.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Are Rottweilers the ones that have their ears up and they don't go down? Like, so
isn't that like a golden retriever? I don't know about that.
Could, yeah, some
of them. What is your favorite thing about your life right now?
You already said that. It's your hobby.
What?
Your hobby.
Oh, you have a hobby.
Do I have a hobby?
Basketball.
You are famous.
See you later. It was nice meeting you.
It was nice meeting you too.
Alright, and good luck with your instrument class.
Thank you.
Now we'll get that G soon, right?
Yeah. Practicing.
You'll get it.
Well.
Yeah, I know that squeak. I know that clarinet squeak, alright. Elementary school concerts for too
trumpet.
Many years.
You play trumpet.
I did play the trumpet. You're absolutely
right.
I did
play clarinet.
You did?
I did.
And it's a common instrument.
Okay.
All right, last question. What's that hobby? Other than basketball, is there another one, Danny?
My hobby, pretty boring. Let's see. Kind of just my one hobby. I sit on the board of Habitat for Humanity, so sometimes I volunteer often with
My hobby's going on my phone all day.
Hold on.
I volunteer with like Habitat for Humanity. It's a place where you give houses or you offer houses to people with lower income. So sometimes I'll take my family around and do those type of things.
Bye, Nicole.
Well, thank you, Danny, for coming today. I hope we can interview you again.
It was nice meeting you. And thank you, Dakota. And thank you, Takai.
Yeah, Takai.